You're listening to Agriculture Today. Welcome back. We'll talk precision agriculture once more and address some questions that linger still about all of that data that you producers collect with your precision technologies and the utilization of that data to your best benefit. Along with us once more is Terry Griffin. He's a precision agricultural economist, K-State Research and Extension. Terry is posting regularly now information via the blog format on the agmanager.info website about data and some of these questions that continue to swirl around to that topic, Terry. And one of the things that you continue to come back to and you're hearing from farmers about still is the ownership of farm data. Who owns that data? And this is a complicated matter, isn't it?
It's very complicated. And a lot of people were asking this question, and it seems like everybody knows what answer they want to hear, but unfortunately, that's not the answer that we're providing to them. You know, data is not like the things that we're used to talking about owning, like farmland and grain and tractors and those tangible goods. We know what it means to own those, and there's a legal definition, and there's some economics of public goods and private goods and definitions there. But, you know, ag attorneys explained to us that the legal definitions do not really apply to intangible digital data like they do to tangible things like grain and livestock and land. And furthermore, you know, the point I try to make in this blog is focus on the economics of it. You know, there's private goods and there's public goods. You know, private good will be those things we just mentioned, things that you own as a person. You know, public goods are not owned by a person, but you think of these as national defense, okay? So the government provides national defense, and it provides it almost equally. There's none of us that can enjoy that more than others, or more to the point, there's no way that I can exclude you from enjoying the same national defense because it's a public good. Well, you know, where does farm data fall? I mean, is it a private good? Is it a public good? Well, you know, it's not. It's not a public good, but it doesn't have all the characteristics of a private good either.
And so it's in limbo, in effect, or?
Yeah, sort of in limbo. And, you know, I think eventually we can own farm data, but I think it's going to take some legislation probably at the federal level. And I think that's what farmers are implicitly asking for is please give us federal legislation such that we own and have ownership rights of our data that's generated from our farm. So, you know, the question really should be, can I exclude others from accessing the data?
Controlling access.
Can I control access to this data? And we can do that until we start sharing it. So that's where the caveat is, because for the most part, farm data has value, but that value is usually limited to that field, to that farm, and you know, maybe to the next field over, but there's this really strong distance decay going on. So the further away from the field you consider, the lower the value is going to be. Well, if that's the case, when farm data is aggregated with a lot more farm data from across large regions, the value is exponentially greater than when it's isolated to a given farm. Well, the thing about that in terms of ownership and sharing, can you own or at least can you control farm data? Yes, unless you share it with a bunch of other people. Can you benefit from that farm data? Yes, but you probably had to share it with a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm. There is a much, much greater value to the data if, in fact, it is integrated with data from elsewhere. And that's just the reality of it, right?
Sure thing. The analogy that – well, in this case, I'm going to give credit to Alex Schnowen, who is a co-author on one of the blog articles, actually the one termed is going off the grid possible. Mm-hmm. And the analogy that we came up with was mechanized agriculture. So, you know, at one point, plows and planters and harvesters were – if they were mechanical, they were being drawn by animal power, you know, horses or oxen or whatever the local area may be. And when mechanized tractors became available, farmers had a choice to make. And many chose to remain with animal power, and some chose to go with mechanized tractors. And in doing so, they implicitly decided to give up some of their self-sufficiency, some independence to, let's say, well, diesel, the fuel providers. Okay, so now mm-hmm. these farmers that were almost entirely self-sufficient are now relying upon a third-party
fuel provider for the equipment. So they're not as independent as they were before. Well, the farmers who decided to maintain their self-sufficiency, their independence, were the ones who were using animal power. Well, fast forward to today, and where is our animal-powered farms at?
Non-existent.
And you can draw the same parallels with farm data utilization. You know, if used correctly, it will make farms more efficient. Not all farms will be more efficient from using this. It's you probably heard me say before when we talk about yield monitor data that it's not for everybody. You know, so you take a poor manager, someone who's barely able to keep production going, adding a layer of complexity is not going to make the farm more efficient. Well, this is the same idea, just an extrapolation of that. It will add a layer of complexity, but for those managers who know how to make the most of it, they will have a competitive advantage against their peers.
And this term that you bring up, again, that's the theme of the other blog article you posted on agmanager.info. You have producers asking about the idea of, as you put it, going off the grid, basically stepping away from the interaction. Is that what that means?
Yeah. The question that we're getting is, you know, we're talking about big data in the last few years, maybe last 5 years now, starting about 2012. I've been talking about what I would consider small data for 20 years, you know, yield monitor data, soil data, rubber rate applications on a given field. I call that small data if that data is kept at that field level or that farm. And now that I'm talking about big data, I've had a lot of folks come to me and say, okay, we've been hearing you talking about data for a long time, and now you're talking about big data. Well, let's revisit the small data. I think we're ready to start with that. And then you have another group of people who are like, you know, I'm just going to not do this. I'm going to avoid going on the grid. I'm going to avoid participating in any data systems. And I'm just not going to play ball. And that's fine, with the exception of it may not be that possible because, you know, for instance, since 2011, most tractors are coming equipped with what would be analogous to OnStar in our GM vehicles that are collecting data and pushing that data back to the manufacturers. Well, there's not necessarily an opt-out of that. So, you know, even, you know, small farms have newish equipment, and some of them may even buy used equipment that's new enough that the telematics or this pushing wireless data back to the manufacturer exists. And so, you know, they're kind of on the grid.
You are making a concerted effort to get these messages out through these blogs you're posting and addressing these and likely other questions about data management that are coming down the line then, right?
Yeah, so the first blog post that I put up was addressing the question of, is farm data considered big data? Well, farm data is big data. And not only that, but some of the characteristics of big data, farm data is the poster child for that. Messiness is a characteristic of big data. Well, you know, anyone's tried to work with file formats from different manufacturers, different proprietary platforms of data would know that, yeah, ag data is messy, you know, and it's a really good example of big data.
Yeah. And the idea of being anonymous in this whole data management scheme is unrealistic at this point.
Sure. You know, we all would like to remain anonymous, but any of us that have a, you know, smartphone, you know, we talk about smartphones a lot, and use them, and, you know, on campus, I wish students would look up from them, and especially when they're crossing the street, because
right.
That just scares me. You know, we've given up that right a long time ago. You know, Google Maps, we use it because, you know, it makes life better, it gets us turned by turn directions. But you know what? We're relinquishing a lot of information when we use it. But it's worth it, right? The benefits of getting good turn-by-turn directions outweigh the cost that we, well, the privacy that we give up. You know, in today's world, anonymity, being anonymous, isn't possible like it once was. And the idea is you can sanitize data sets. And in a world of truly big data, it only takes maybe one or two layers more data added back to that to figure out who the original people were. You know, in agriculture, we think of, you know, plat maps, you know, publicly available, who owns land. We know the USDA has a lot of public data, whether it's production at the county level. I mean, we have a lot of the FSA data that's very specific on who receives subsidies. RMA data is available at the county level. And we put some of these layers together, we can kind of sort out who's who. So, you know, and it's not a bad thing. It's just something we need to accept and move forward, that, you know, anonymity is not really attainable like it once was.
You are putting out some enlightening perspectives on this whole issue of farm data, how to perceive it in your overall management and how to use it most effectively. And that is going to continue on the agmanager.info website. So we'd invite folks to check out your regular postings there, Terry. Thanks for going over all of this with us today. We always appreciate your time.
Thanks, Eric.
Speaking here with Terry Griffin, Precision Agriculture Economist, K-State Research and Extension. Again, check out his entries on agmanager.info. You're listening to Agriculture Today, and we'll break away now and be back with more after this over the K-State Radio Network.